All right, we're going to call the February 11th meeting of the Labor Committee to order. It is 5:15. Just quickly do a roll. Sean Meskey.
Fernando Alvarado.
Kathy Schwantes.
Vicki Davis.
And Samantha Beckman.
And our first item on here is public comment. Do we have anybody who from the public who would like to comment this evening? Yes. Please state your name and whether you live in the city of Wilmer.
Is that? My name is Bruce Peterson, and I used to live in Wilmer, but I do not.
Okay.
I don't have any comments to make. There's just a couple things on the agenda that I would appreciate the ability to participate in that discussion when you get to those points on the agenda, and those are numbers 6 and 7.
Okay. Any other public comment at this time? All right, we're going to move to number 3 on the agenda, GIS Surveyor JT update. Samantha, please.
Okay, so we have our Public Works Director has requested we update the job description slightly. This position has been open for over a year, and we have had no real viable applicants. So we're hoping to update it to remove some of the GIS descriptions. Or duties, I should say, from the job description to hopefully attract more applicants. Historically, our GIS has been outsourced for at least the past 5 years, probably longer than that. That's just all the farther back I looked. This was an attempt to bring that in-house, but obviously the market must just be very competitive and we're not getting anybody who's interested. So we want to take the GIS back out of the job description and just strictly focus on the surveying. They will still be using that software, so it doesn't remove it completely. It's not a drastic change, but we're hoping to remove more of the GIS heavy duties and change the title and hope that will attract some more applicants. There's no pay change, no pay grade change, just hoping to attract more applicants.
Councilmember Schwantes.
Thank you. So when it says it's outsourced, does that mean we don't have anyone in-house with those expertise?
Correct, yes.
And would it be our intent to provide training for them once they come on board? And if so, what would be the cost of that training or the time frame to do that?
There wouldn't be any formal training, if I'm understanding it correctly. It would just be whatever in-house training is necessary for the surveying. People in the city, they do use that system, but this person, what we were hoping, was someone who could actually update it and upload things into it. And I've never used it personally, so I'm talking a little out of turn. But for what we do right now is we outsource all of the updates to a different company who then updates our system. And we were hoping to bring that in-house, which has not been successful. And unfortunately, this has also been open for over a year, the surveying portion of the job.
So would the intent be, once we had someone on board, though, to put them through that training so that we would have that expertise in-house?
Possibly. If they were interested in that, that's definitely something we could look at. I don't know what training that entails. I thought it was a 2-year degree, though. As part of this 2-year degree is where I've been advertising at 2-year colleges. I can find out. I can find out more about that, though.
Question about the grading of this. If you're removing all the GIS things out of it, this may be the thing to springboard to talk about, maybe looking at how we do put these things into categories and grade them, because with removal of all the GIS stuff, and if there isn't a change in the educational piece, and there's just, it's just a cutting off of a bunch of duties on here, how do we come to the same pay?
So it's not removing GIS completely, it's just removing, what did we take out?
Instead of developing it, they would
aid in it. Consulting with departments to define the GIS programming needs was removed. And then they removed the 2 years of increasingly responsible experience with the GIS system. So it isn't a degree. It's just the experience that we're removing, having worked with it previously.
And do you know any of the history of why it was put in there in the first place?
I believe it was added in because we wanted to try to bring that in-house. So this was updated back in 2016, I believe, adding those positions in, adding more GIS responsibilities in and changing the title. And so this is kind of, I believe, undoing what was updated in 2016.
Well, before that, was there a surveyor position?
They were all, yes, they were all called engineering techs, I think. There were three engineering techs. And they all had responsibilities that siloed them into a surveyor, a stormwater, and the engineering position, more engineering position. And so that has been the project over the last few years when I've been brought on, is to make them, their job description match what they're actually doing, rather than having one generic engineering tech job description for three people who are doing three pretty different things. So that was the original job description change back in 2016. Was to define these positions more and what you're actually doing in that position. So technically, this position has never been filled, the GIS specialist or surveyor one position. It's been an engineering tech, but they did the surveying.
Councilmember Schwantes.
So does that mean that the engineering tech position is level 6?
Yes, yep. And I can find out, what it would take to train an internal person to possibly be that GIS specialist as well. And I'll let you get back to you.
Councilmember Romano.
So you're indicating that we have not had anybody show an interest in this position?
We've had applicants, but no one with experience in either field. No real experience in either field.
Oh, okay.
But we've had applicants, but...
Okay, but no surveying experience. Or no GIS experience.
Exactly.
Okay. Why, and you're reaching out to them at technical schools?
Yep, some technical schools across the state is where I've been posting, in St. Cloud and Morris and Mankato. Is where we posted about a year ago now.
Would it be maybe prudent to maybe reach out to some of the professors and say, hey, is there anybody that you think might be worthwhile in directing towards us? Or
sure.
How can we work with you to try to get someone to fill this position?
Sure, that's something we could try. I'm not sure where I'd start, but yeah.
I'm thinking if you could find out who the professors are and say, hey, there's opportunity up here.
Yeah.
I think we've got some, there's good firms around here that they would probably work with, Bonema, Bolton and Mank, mm-hmm. different things like that. So I think it would be a good opportunity if somebody came on board. I mean, we're a good place to work.
In the area.
So, I'm just... planting that seed. So
no, I think Ridgewater College President Craig Johnson would be a good contact person to start with there, and he would, because I think they even have it. But what I'm looking at this is going, if we need someone with both of these talents and we're getting no applicants with either of them, we've selected to go with the surveyor route. What if you had a GIS person that was available as well instead? I mean, I guess I'm at a loss because I think we all are. None of us at this table were here before when this was put into place.
Right.
But I'm curious, if we do that, you basically said we're going with the surveyor, when maybe you could get the GIS specialist. I don't know.
Should there be an or?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I just don't know where we're at. Because I think there's GIS programs in schools mm-hmm. all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually see surveying programs as much.
Yeah.
So GIS is kind of the new thing instead of surveying. So if that's the direction things are going, then maybe that is.
Is this Sean's?
Yeah. Edit.
His idea. His edit of what to do here.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've roundtabled it. Do we send it back to Sean with some of these ideas, or what's our next step?
Well, I don't know. It would be, to me, it would be maybe a good idea to have to talk to Sean about the rationales of where we're going, and he can give us some background of what he was looking for and as far as this was concerned, instead of guessing. But mm-hmm. you know, that might be prudent to bring him in maybe to talk about what this parameters. I would assume, since it's been vacant for as long as it has, mm-hmm. we're not pressing to get it done right yeah. away. Unless people are comfortable with the way it is, there's a lot of unknowns there, but
I don't have a strong preference one way or another.
So maybe do some of the exploring, and maybe we can get the answer just that way.
Okay.
If it looks like there's a lot of other unknown questions and Sean wants to talk with us, let's invite him to the next meeting otherwise and get some of these questions answered and go from there.
Which questions specifically?
Well, if we can find out which direction, I mean, does he believe there's an appetite we're going to find surveyor over GIS? And then what was the history of why we added the GIS? And then he believes we're going to be able to do the surveying piece over GIS, and then maybe some contacts out into those schools. I mean, if we see, when you contact a couple of colleges, if that's the route you go, you're going to find out right away what programs they have. I happen to know, I think GIS is something we have here in Wilmer even.
Okay.
But I don't think we have surveying. I could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing that. Do you remember seeing that even?
No. Who do you think teaches GIS?
They bring people in. It's not a set program piece. They offer a certificate, I believe. But I would say a quick call to Craig, and you can get exactly where the status is for this as well.
I know years ago Southwest had a program, but I don't know
yeah.
if they still have it or not.
Because it'd be nice to, you know, you can get folks that even live in the area that want to do that. Other questions that, so Sam's not just going to shoot and blind. Do we have additional questions we need answered about it?
I guess just here, these other duties, why are those removed?
I put them all under, it's something that our jobs have that I don't like. I just put them all in one place. So I just removed them and I just put them here.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Okay, I see.
Because I just don't like having them on a separate page. So
sure.
That's just me.
Yeah. That's good.
And is everybody familiar, I mean, with how they grade positions mm-hmm. with the city?
No.
That might be something that might be helpful as well.
Sure.
I know that. I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah, yep.
But.
Okay, I haven't looked at them in a while, but they're graded based off of scope of responsibility, the education needed for your job, the impact of your job, whether it's going to affect multiple departments, just your department, the level of responsibility as well as you can gauge it, and multiple, I forget if it's 7, 8, 9 different areas, and then you grade them, you assign them a letter grade based off of the score, and then those correlate to a number, and then that number, when you add it all up at the end of the day, this job scores at a 300 and something or whatever it is, and then your pay ranges scope from 0 points to 100 points, 101 to 2, and then 201 to so on,
okay.
And that's your pay grade or level.
So maybe we might want to share that at a future meeting of mm-hmm. how that works, so people understand
yeah.
the difference between a 6 and a 7. And I know we've mm-hmm. people have thrown those numbers around at other meetings, and we may not know what those numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it would be a good thing for a lighter agenda in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Sam to take outside of the committee to get information about the position? Or if you think of any, email them to her.
Okay.
That would be great. Okay. Item 4, project manager report.
Yep, I just included this in your packets. Got it directly from Kurt, our project manager. Just
okay.
things that he's currently working on. The last page is recently completed projects.
And so yeah, that was asked last meeting, so you can peruse those
yep.
at your leisure.
Councilor
Schwantes?
When I look at the items that Kurt has been working on or our project manager has been working on, Is there any intent for this position to be overseeing the projects involved with the local option sales tax and the city hall project, that type of project management?
Not the way that we, maybe to some extent, but not to be the, I wouldn't say project manager, no. They wouldn't be coordinating all of those building projects.
Was there an expectation that they would?
Well, that was my understanding of a project manager, that we've got big projects coming down the road. These are smaller projects, not to diminish that, or, yeah, right.
Because those are 6 very important projects.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
take a different type of skill set.
Absolutely, and maybe that's something to bring to the steering committee. I think they meet this week on Wednesday for the local option sales tax. Maybe we need to talk about that very thing, is the oversight of the projects. I know they're currently trying to figure out the process of getting it through the legislature and mm-hmm. populating committees, but truly that's a piece that has to be addressed. So maybe we can relay that's on our radar screen to that committee, that's going to be an important piece, and we need to contact for those things. Anything else regarding the item number 4? All right, item number 5, Public Works Intern.
So this one I had spoken with Sean about, and I don't have any documents for it. Sorry. I had spoken with Sean about, because I'd asked him about job description, start dates, and things like that, and we do not have any plans right now for a Public Works Intern. If we're going to have Sean come back for a future meeting, he can maybe answer those questions too. But he thought this might be in reference to, I think we had been out of compliance with some stormwater issues previously, and so he did say all of those have been addressed and up to date and we are fully in compliance now. So he didn't know if there was a need for a Public Works Intern any longer. So I just had met with him briefly about it, and he wasn't sure what that was.
I had asked to have this put into the budget, and the intent was, with all the flooding that we had, and there are so many things that people can do to help themselves that they don't know that they can do, and to have someone proactively educate the public. So again, it would be things like, I mean, I just drive down the street and I see people with their sump pump hose wrapped up next to their house during a rain, and they're wondering why their basement floods. Or their landscaping items, you know, after your landscaping settles and you've got drainage in, the water flows towards the house instead of away from the house. And just simple little things like that we could educate the public on. You know, 2 years ago, I think it was, when we had the major flood, that was a suggestion that I had brought forward. And I still think that it would be a very inexpensive way to educate the public and help reduce the flooding issues that people have in their homes and their businesses as well. So that's where the concept came from originally.
Okay. He did say it has not been budgeted for this year.
Okay.
And we didn't have a job description or anything to go off of, so that's all I know at this point.
Councilman Ramaro.
Thank you. Do we have other interns in other departments within the city?
No.
We've never
no.
done that.
I don't. They might have previously, not since I've been here. I'm sure in the past there must have been some, but I can try to find out if we have previously.
Okay. It's probably not a bad idea to.
Is there, I guess my question would be, is there a need for it to be an intern per se, or it could not just be a part-time summer staff, that we have summer staff all of the time, and part-time staff all of the time? I don't know if we have gotten into, whether it be an intern program, specifically paid or unpaid, or if it offers credit and things like that. I don't think we've dove into any of that information. So that's my question. Does it necessarily need to be an intern?
I don't know that it needs to be, but it's a great way to be able to pick up someone who has some experience and education behind them.
Yep.
It gives them an opportunity to learn about the city, and it's a possible future employee for us. It's easy to do internships. It's not a lot of work and effort over and above what you would do otherwise. It's just...
I think a lot of our summer people that come and do those interim summer jobs would be from outside, that are maybe just home for the summer, would be perfect candidates for that. So how you want to, what you want to call it is not as important to me as getting somebody that would be interested in doing it and being the champion for that. And I think the summer you're going to have the right mix of folks around where it might not be too difficult to find.
Like have somebody's summer, I'm going to say work study or whatever you want to call it, with that job description of educator of, you know, stormwater mitigation or whatever. I don't know if that's the right term, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's, do you have someone coming home from school that has some education in civil engineering? You know, that's the question.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you go right to the school and right to that department that is offering that educational opportunity, you know, that university or college or whatever, then you're getting right to the source of the folks that are interested in that and have some education background and things. So
I think we get people with public administration degrees and conservation degrees coming back that I can think of about four off the top of my head that if they come home would be excellent candidates for something like that. And when they're not doing that, I'm sure they would have other work that we could have them do as well. So maybe we'll put some more thought into what that should look like so we can find somebody if there are some people to find. Anything else on that topic? All right, move on to number six, department head sick leave policy update.
Okay. So our department head sick leave, I have a couple of attachments to that one. Department head sick leave payout has not been updated in at least the past 8 years. That was as far back as the contracts were in the drive. The amount that they can cash out has not been increased. It also was not updated when we completed union negotiations last year. So on that third page, I have a comparison of the different unions and what can be cashed out. And then also on the bottom, I have some other cities I was able to survey and see what they allowed cashed out. So sick leave works different than vacation leave. I pray maybe we should specify this at our first meeting, but you don't just automatically get your sick leave whenever you leave employment, the same that you would with vacation. So sick leave, you have to have been at least employed, at least 7 years is the shortest for the supervisors and department heads before you get any of your sick leave cashed out upon separation of service. And then it's a percentage increase once you've been here 10 years. For those two units, you're eligible to get up to 820 hours cashed out. So if you've been here less than 10 years, you're not getting any of your sick leave whenever you separate employment. So that's a difference between us and some of the other cities listed below. There are, the exception of three of those cities, you have to have at least 5 years of service for one of them to get any of that. And then for two of the cities, they actually allow cash outs for all of employees, regardless of how long you have been employed. So it's not necessarily comparing apples to apples, but there's just some information there as far as how the cities do things. So for future reference, next negotiating round, if it's something you want to look at for the unions, there's the information for you. For the sake of the department heads, this is a policy that can be updated. It's not a union contract, and it was not updated, increased, I should say, to match what other unions have from the last union negotiations. It currently is the least amount that can be cashed out of all the city employees, so that is out of alignment. And so we were requesting that it does be increased to 900 hours, which is the most that the unions, any union employee can cash out upon separation as well.
Discussion. We asked for the additional information. You have it in front of you at this time.
Okay.
I think it's very, thank you, sorry. It's very interesting to see the limits that the other cities have done, and you can see that we greatly exceed what those other communities are allowing for payout. And I think the point I made last time is that I would prefer that we look at the entire compensation package rather than piecemeal it and look at bits and pieces of it.
Was the city administrator, our current city administrator, responsible for the 900 for Public Works employees?
No, that has been... Okay, so the difference there was these unions also had a deferred bank that they could accrue additional sick hours once they'd hit their regular sick hour bank. And so that deferred bank, for as far back as I could go, was 8 years. It has always been higher in Public Works. So I don't know why that is.
So Public Works has always been more than department heads?
Their deferred bank, so the unions can only accrue up to a certain point. Department heads can accrue as much as they want. The limit is on how much they cash out.
I know that there was discussion last time. There was maybe two trains of thought around this table. One was the idea that there needed to be a hierarchy of how these things work, and then there was another train of thought that perhaps they should all be equalized at some point in the future. What I don't want to see is us basically deny both of those and say we're going to try to do with the say there's a hierarchy, but we're going to try to make it with the least common denominator and push everything down. However, it's very apparent when we talk about a policy, if these things were all put into place, you have the department heads, if you are adhering to any kind of an idea of a hierarchy, you have the department heads with the least amount of benefit in this regard, which to me is not correct. It's not right. That needs to move. Now, the debate of where it should be, where the magic number is, I don't know, but to simply say we don't want to deal with it now, well, we didn't deal with it because it was a policy. All these other ones moved up by contract, and so if one adheres to an idea of a hierarchy, you've got your department heads getting the least, and we didn't even address it. So at minimal, I think it needs to be at least 850 immediately. The discussion of 900 is open to debate, but this seems silly. Now, compared to the other cities, that's another story that we can have for a thing, but we've already approved all these other contracts to move, and now because we can individually, it almost seems almost like a punitive thing to let them sit, but that's my two cents. Other comments? Or questions? Councilman Alvarado.
Thank you. I like Kathy's suggestions. It would be nice to know what the whole pie looked like. And then I hear what Sean is saying also, that it doesn't make sense that the department heads would be less than everyone else based on their responsibilities and such. I mean, when you're a department head, you've got.
There's been no increase since 2011, as far as that was concerned.
Might the public make a comment?
I can recognize that. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, that 820 is where it's been since the process was instituted back in the early to mid 90s. It's been 820 hours max since that time. Oh. It's never changed. And if you look at municipal utilities, their payouts are considerably higher than the city's. When you look at the vacation, sick leave combined, because they do PTO, they do a max PTO payout that exceeds the maximum that anybody from the city can get.
Anything additional at this point?
Is it inappropriate to discuss a personal situation as it relates to the policy?
You can certainly talk to it, but the council will take it under advisement. Yeah.
Okay. When I submitted my letter of retirement, I had certain stipulations in that letter, and that letter went to the city administrator. The city administrator agreed to some, did not agree to some. And one of the things that he stipulated was that I would be paid out 900 hours of sick leave. And I'm leaving 1,300 on the books besides that. So I believe the city got a good deal from my health over the years. So I, you know, we've already got an administrator that's agreed to this. I believe that's within the scope of his authority. And he has the authority to make a $25,000 payment at his discretion, or to spend $25,000 at his discretion. This comes nowhere near that. So I know that's still being bantied about up in finance and with our administrator, and it seems like the finance department's instructing the administrator how to handle the situation, and I don't believe it's appropriate. And it is a significant amount as far as I'm concerned. It might not be to some people, but it is to me.
And I'd say that I'll just speak to one of those points, that we will have to have a discussion about the authorities of the city administrator and overstretching or overreaching policy, if that's something that is for another discussion for sure. As we sit here currently, we're sitting at 820 cash out with information that could have been around since the early 90s. Versus, and I would imagine in the early 90s, any idea what the other units were at that time?
Probably not a whole lot different than they are now. Those numbers have not seen increases over the years.
Okay, so it was just in the recent contracts that they went to the 840s?
And like Sam said, the one in Public Works really came about as a change when they got away from the sick leave bank. They changed their payout because they didn't have a bank at that time any longer.
Okay. Any other questions or comments at this time?
Can I ask him a quick question?
You're a member of this committee. You can certainly ask them.
So, Bruce, so you did get compensated at the 820 mark.
I have not received any of it. I'm just saying the agreement I had with the administrator in writing, signed, executed, $900.
Okay. I was thinking that the difference was in question, but you haven't received anything. Okay.
And I can confirm was that sent out broadly?
Which one?
Because I can confirm that there was a signed agreement between the employer and employee as far as our city administrator is concerned.
I don't believe that was received broadly.
And I don't know what authority I have to broadly disseminate that either. So, but I can tell you there is a document that does state that, and it is signed. I have seen it. I don't know, we'll have to talk Robert Scott about appropriate dissemination of such documents. But those agreements were in place, so I can confirm and validate what you just heard. Because I have seen it, but...
So it's really two different issues we have.
That's exactly.
Yep. One is honoring an agreement that was made in writing by the administrator, and the other is changing a policy going forward.
That's why I see them as separate issues, too. And I don't know, we're dealing with the policy here. And so we probably need, do we need a legal opinion on this particular piece? Or did we get that legal opinion officially about the ability for the city administrator to enter into an agreement that isn't a violation of an existing policy?
I can ask that specific question. I can say that according to our labor attorney, the city administrator does not have the authority to deviate from that policy. It has to be a council decision. I didn't ask about if there was something already signed by something was signed, if he didn't have the authority to offer that. I don't know that specific question.
And that's why I'm going to try to tread carefully on the subject, but if that authority does not exist, that needs to be more broadly shared, so employees understand that apparently those agreements that would be agreed with the city administrator, if they're in violation of any policy, are null and void unless the council acts, because I don't think employees are aware of that, in just my experience. And I don't want to go too far in the weeds there.
What would that mean for past ones, then, that were already, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if the administrator already did that for other people?
I know that hasn't happened with this administrator.
Okay.
The reason things even got brought up was because the paperwork came through HR and through finance, and it deviated from a policy. So that did flag it, and we're like, okay, this is different than a policy. So now, what do we do?
So I think we've got to go. We've got two things going on here. Like you said, the policy should be, you know, what I'm worried about is if, you know, I know we have obligations, and if there's an agreement, I think we're going to probably be, we'll have to be holding to that agreement. However, is that going to be set in a precedence? Do we want to set that, or how do we say no or yes, or, you know what I mean?
You've articulated the problem very well. You have a collision course of two things, and whatever one goes first sets a precedent for the other. I understand exactly what you're mm-hmm. saying. And you don't change the policy to necessarily correct the other piece or vice versa. And I understand that. And so that's where I'm suggesting that maybe some additional advice from people that make a lot more money than I do chime in on this to give us some additional direction on that, because there are two things here at work.
So do we table it?
I would have no problem whatsoever doing that, but it really needs to be dealt with sooner than later. So if it's going to be tabled, I would ask that it just be brought back up at the next meeting that we have in 2 weeks. And so that would give us a two-week window to gather that information that you would need.
Might I ask a procedural question?
Certainly.
In my letter of retirement, that was stated as a condition. If the condition is not met, am I to understand correctly then that my position is still open to me?
That would be another question for that same entity, I would think. I don't think I have the authority, or this committee has that authority. Is there enough direction on where we want to proceed with this particular issue?
I think so.
Because there's two issues, and there truly is two issues. Mm-hmm. It's the authority and an agreement that was signed between an individual, and then the application of the policy more broadly, and which has precedent and so on.
I know I can say the policy would need to be changed to cash out that amount. That's the order. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be making an exception for one employee, but the policy still states 820 hours.
Unless...
Does that make sense?
It does, but what if, and I don't want to get into legal talk here, but if the city administrator has the authority to actually enter into that agreement, if it is paid as dollars that aren't actually earmarked necessarily towards this particular piece, there's a value, I would assume, affixed to 900 versus 820. And if a city administrator wishes to pay that because they are going to not follow policy, do they have the ability to pay that as in terms of something else as compensation that overrides or slips by the policy?
No. The council would need to approve any change that involves the pay that is outside of the parameters set in the policy. So, no.
All right. the city attorney is aware of that signed agreement?
I lost track. I can check.
Okay. Because I think that's important as well.
That I can find out.
Okay. Additional comments, questions on that issue? We're in a committee. This doesn't necessarily have an action. Just let's put it on the next agenda.
I think so.
There's no need to table it. We'll just bring it right back to the next agenda.
Yeah.
I think if it's appropriate, if we are able to, it would be appropriate to have a copy of the letter, the agreement.
Find that question if that can be done as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that's confidential, I would assume it is because it's an employee letter.
I don't remember what else is in it. I don't remember what other information is on it.
Something from the next item.
Yeah.
I think I don't think there's anything else sensitive.
Pertained to the payout rate and how that was calculated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the next item of discussion.
Yeah.
Maybe also check it on your end, and if there's anything that you think should not be shared, to address that as well.
I'm an open book. You're living in there.
All right. So just check with the attorney on that issue. All right, then we will be seeing that again next week. Number 7, pay scale maximums. Apologize.
Yes. So this is a continuation from 2 weeks ago when we started discussing this. And I cannot remember what we discussed previously. So if in order for employees to be paid above the maximums that have been approved by the council, it would require city council approval.
And another discussion was, can those, instead of being salary, can it be
right.
A lump sum payment?
Okay, so the answer is yes, also would require council approval though. This is something that the council would have to approve, any pay above the maximum in a lump sum or otherwise. Our labor attorney does not recommend that. One issue being it would set a precedent moving forward for other employees. And also one that I didn't think of before, but it would also, lump sum payments are taken into consideration when we do our pay equity reporting and pay equity law. And that could have undesirable effects to additional pay that goes above salary maximums. So that was the further information we'd asked for previously from the attorney. Again, it is still possible. They would like to be consulted if that is something we want to pursue, though, so that they can discuss it further.
So a long-time employee, if a lump sum isn't put on there, that is going to be perhaps used for pay equity pieces in the future.
Their exact words are saying, setting a precedent moving forward. The other issue, lump sum payments are taken into consideration under pay equity law, and we could have similar undesirable effects to additional pay increase when an employee is already at the top of the range. Meaning you're making an exception for one employee and not another.
I understand that. I'm just curious about the longevity of the employee. Is that not taken into consideration in that kind of an idea?
Not sure.
Where you set the maximum, if you have a person that hits that maximum fairly early in their career and is sitting at that maximum and can't move up after they have many, many years of not moving up, but simply cost of living, to move them up would actually adjust that entire range for future employees and equity of that position. That seems strange to me. I mean, I may be true, but it just seems odd that they would allow longevity to be ignored in that equation. But
if that's, I guess I would say historically, if that's the case, then your range is wrong. Maybe the range needs to be looked at.
I wouldn't dispute that either.
Yeah.
Converse questions about this now that you've got the additional information?
Did our attorneys have any suggestions? Or
Their suggestion was to not pay someone above the maximum, lump sum or otherwise.
And that will be one of those issues, just so you are aware. We don't have a policy. We have a pay range in this case. But again, what is the authority of a city administrator to adjust that above the pay range is...
Does not have the authority to do that.
And so again, I will let you know that we're probably going to be in exactly the same position on this issue that we were on the previous issue. Any comments? Yes, please.
Just speaking to the issue of precedence, there is precedent established. This was done previously for a city engineer as well as for our mayor when he was fire chief, and the mayor has confirmed that to me.
Can I ask you, when in those two issues, they were both at the top of the range?
They were at the top of the range, and they were paid a lump sum performance payment as opposed to having it added to the base, which is a increase in perpetuity.
And perhaps the council then had to approve both of those cases? Or we don't know the answer to that?
I believe at the time the city administrator had that authority to make those decisions.
Okay.
And again, I have a written agreement with our city administrator for this, and I guess that's about all I can say on it. I don't understand where the attorney's coming from pay equity, because if they're worried about it, it took me 32 years of employment to get to the top of a range with the city. It's not exactly rapid advancement. So.
Well, I would.
And we did go a 7-year period with no increases in our department head group.
Councilor Schwantes.
That was one of the items we talked about last time, was asking for the history of that, because one understanding was that ceiling meant there had been no pay increases, and that was not correct because of the cost of living adjustments, and so we had asked to see that history.
I had asked for that from our finance director, but I was told we have no record of anyone getting paid above the maximum.
I don't think we're asking for the maximum. Well, in light of what was just said, that would be interesting to see. It would be good to see. But we were looking for the history of how that maximum moved up for our department heads.
Okay.
Outside of just cost of living increases.
Okay.
No, including cost of living increases. Right.
Well, I mean, but the salary maximum is going to move anyway. I suppose we aren't going to go back and look at what each cost of living increase was year by year. You're not suggesting that.
Well, there were some at the table that thought that when you reached that maximum, that that's where they stayed for years and years and years and didn't get a cost of living adjustment. So that was the purpose for looking at that information, was to...
Because I would argue even that the employee of longevity, the cost of living increase does push the maximum up for everybody, but perhaps not at the correct pace even.
And there was a 7-year period where there were no COLAs.
No COLAs at all.
For our group. It didn't apply to the unions, just our group.
Yeah.
Which is not a group.
No. And so if there are additional questions that we need information about, perhaps some history, but I'm going to put this in the same category as number 6. Because those other issues of that agreement need to be addressed as well. Are there additional questions and information you want from the pay scale maximum piece at this time? Sam, do you know what you're looking for in that one?
I was just going to ask, so are you wanting a history of the pay scale for that position?
Well, I would... prefer we didn't say for that position, but for department heads in general, because let's not make it about a position, because I mean they're all in the same position.
Again, we have that same issue.
Right.
Setting the policy and looking at what that written agreement was.
Exactly. And we're going to have to look at them both for both of these issues, just because of how it's played out. Because we have to be.
May I make a final comment?
Yes, sir.
Another minor. I've read the policies. I've looked at the policies. The policies are not very well written. I'll be so bold as to say that. There's a certain ambiguity to it. From a legal standpoint, you can't insert meaning that's not there. Words are words. Words are language. Language has a meaning. There's nowhere in that policy that says that it that addresses the pay range maximum at all with regard to the up to 4% additional payout. And in fact, I was prepared to take a different route with that request, and the city administrator and I, he talked me out of the 4% lump sum, and I agreed to have the amount be calculated at 4%, pay me that for the month of January, and then use that as the basis for my vacation and sick leave payouts. And that's what he has stipulated to in writing.
And so I guess, as I listened to all the things discussed, there is the issue of an employee, we will deal with that, and the issue of a policy. But part of the policies, if this goes the way I think it may go, these policies are going to have to be having additional information about the authorities to act outside of these policies, because we can't have the current situation happening to anyone else. If they think, well, basically the authority to change or modify this lies solely with the council, if that is what it is, that needs to be said on here, because the employees are just going to our policies and they're reading them, and there's no authority pieces in here, and they need to be if that's going to be the case, because I think we'll just be right back here again. Please.
So I'd recommend we also bring the language policy itself so that we have that in front of
for
us.
For this particular one, yes. We do have the one for the sick leave piece. All right, so stay tuned. 2 weeks, we'll have an additional information on those two items, I hope. Number 8, administrative review date and form. I think I can cover most of this if you want. You can see that the evaluation period is in April, and it's in mid to late April. That's when we are to do this. I think we thought it might have been March, but it is in April. So we are ahead of the game. Ike was asking why it's coming so early. We thought it was March, but we're ahead. But I remember last time people were commenting about the form, thinking they wish they had more time to make comment on it. So that should take that away, because you have 2 months, if there are things you want to modify in this form, to start talking about that. And so what I think we'll do is we'll include this in the minutes of this meeting, so you can check it out at your leisure, comments or questions or changes. We can probably bring them through the committee structure here, so all the council members see it. But I don't know if we really need to do much more than that, because, like I said, I think we're plenty ahead of the curve. Sam, do you have anything additional there?
Nope. I was just curious. Should I could just email this out to the full council as well, so they have a copy.
Yep.
They could actually.
Yep. And
print out if they wanted.
At some point, and this has been a bone of contention, and it will be for me personally. We have an HR director, and I strongly believe the HR director should administer the survey and tabulate the results for the council. I have no desire to do that. I've done it twice, and I will not be doing it a third time. We have a person who's qualified.
I would support that.
I had conversations with Ike. I think I'm in agreement with that.
I don't know if we need to make that motion yet, but whenever it comes up, that will be something that I think needs to come through here. Sorry, Sam, that you're doing such a good job, but I think you're more than qualified.
I'd be happy to make that motion, and then we have it brought forward as an official motion.
Okay.
So
there's a motion on.
A second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second that the human resource director will administer and tabulate the city administrator survey. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, that'll go forward then as a recommendation from the Labor Committee to the full council. Yes.
So what is our timeline that we actually send this out for comment and people have an opportunity to respond and a due date back for it.
I think it would be fair to give them, because we are early on this, probably a month to do so. But Ike also has a right to take a look at that as well and see that he thinks that's something as well. It needs to be productive for both the council as well as the city administrator. I have not heard from Ike as far as what he thought about the last process.
I spoke with him briefly, and he said he did like that we were talking about it so early so that, yeah, all parties can look at it, see if we want to change the process. But he didn't say anything concrete that he would like to change.
Okay. Well, I'd recommend that we actually send this out to council members by March 25th, giving 2 weeks for the information to be completed and sent back, and that allows us an opportunity to meet with the administrator before that final April date.
Is that a motion?
Yes, it is.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded. You'll have to forgive me for not remembering that you want the evaluation instrument sent out by March 25th with a two-week turnaround period and discussion to Ike if it requires afterwards.
Yeah. And then we would need to have a closed meeting to review it.
Yes.
To review.
To perform the actual.
Oh, no, but that's, you're talking about actually what? Conducting the survey. I mean, doing the actual thing. You're giving the date of. I think she wants the feedback back from that time frame.
Yeah, so if we
she's not talking
it
about
out
doing
on
it.
March 25th, 2 weeks would bring us to April 8th, which actually is a council meeting date, but. So if we, if last time we had a closed session where we had an opportunity to talk about it, and then we brought the administrator in. So the next council meeting after that would be April 22nd. No, it's first
well,
and third,
but,
sorry. Michael, be the 15th.
Kathy, before you get too far into the calendar, Sam, do you know... That's before his date. Is there any stipulation that the review has to be done at the actual anniversary of one's hire?
No. I know it was done the first council meeting in May previously, but it doesn't have to be done.
Because we did this one April 26th. Mm-hmm. But we can do it earlier than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
April 29th is actually the fifth Monday of the month. That might be an opportune time to do it.
Well, it's a perfect time to do the session. Mm-hmm. So that'll be when we would plan to do the closed session to review the evaluation. So evaluations will be sent out on
March
25th. 25th, to be completed within 2 weeks, tabulated, and then to discuss with Ike on the
29th.
It's motion made and seconded. That amendment is welcome for you, yeah? Because that was, we just added the review date. You're good with that second
yes.
of the motion? All right. Discussion about that calendar of activity. Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That also carries. We'll send that as a recommendation with the evaluation as well. Number 9, miscellaneous. I will remind you that we have 2 minutes before the next meeting starts. And we want to be respectful of time. And I knew. Councilmember Schwantes.
I noticed in the weekly update that there had been a conversation with Springstead in regard to a study for 2020, and I just wondered if you wanted to comment on that.
Oh, yeah, that was the compensation study that was started before I got here as well. It was the compensation study evaluating the general unit and public works unit positions. So that will be on a very near future labor committee agenda as well.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure again that we're looking at total compensation and not just salary, but we're looking at the full package.
Yes, this one does look at the salary study and it does look at benefits. However, I did ask her specifically about deferred comp and she said that was not looked at for these cities. So it was health insurance, dental insurance, and things like that, benefits and salary was what they compared.
Any additional? All right, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you for taking the time.
job, sir.
Under the gun.
Sorry.
I totally expected it.